You, check this out.
What if the way you communicate is the very thing holding you back from love, from success, from true connection? In today's episode, communication expert and renowned speaker Mario Issa reveals how vulnerability, self-awareness, and even your past traumas shape every word you speak. This isn't just a conversation, folks. It's a masterclass in unlocking the power you didn't even know you had. Stay tuned. Your relationships may never be the same. To the Digital Dating Podcast with Anonymous Andrew. And I can't wait to hear this next guest. This next guest is, in the initial stages when I was researching him, he's like a little bit of an enigma. And now that I've chatted with him a little bit and I've looked into him, he is, I think, one of the best type of guests that we could have on this show for the dating world. And I'd like to introduce Mario Issa? Issa?
Pronounce yes, that. Sounds
okay. Mario is a, and welcome Mario. Mario is an author of two books, and one is called The Empowering Communication Unleashed, and a second book called 180 Degree You in 180 Degree Day, in 180 Days. I screwed that up.
Don't worry.
Mario will tell you where the books are available. I think there's something that they're not here in the United States, but he'll explain that. And what I like about Mario is that in his profile, he has that he is an author who's deeply, I can't read my own handwriting, but he likes to empower communication. So he's really a communication expert. So Mario, tell us a little, let's start with, because you were born in Egypt. I'd like to hear how an Egyptian came to America and became one of the biggest well-known communication experts.
Wow. As I'm listening to what you have to share, and I truly feel humble, and it's true honor. Yeah, I came to the U.S. 25 years ago to simply learn to speak the English language. 25 years later, I have published 3 books in English, and they're being translated to different languages. I have been married and divorced twice.
Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club.
I do not have any kids of my own, at least that I know of. But seriously, I don't have. I knew what I was doing, and I do not have any kids. I have dated more than like 7 people in my lives, between like being married and having girlfriends and all. 17 years living in the U.S., I held more than 12 different jobs in 12 different companies, corporations. I traveled Asia for 5 years. And during all that, I have been doing research in the communication field. I have been saying for 17 years, I have been making this comment for the last 2 years. That means I have been doing research for almost 2 decades, 19 years. And at this point in my life, I mean this from the deepest part of my heart. I'm living right now to just share my experience, my knowledge, my research, and my stories, with really big hopes to help the next future and generation to have better experience in life.
And we need that, because this country's in trouble. Generations that are being brought up now, I don't know whether it's Gen X, Gen Z, whatever, but we are in trouble, because I'm seeing and I have 3 boys, so I can say this. I have 37, 35, and 26-year-old boys. And while I love them and adore them and they're all doing well, I see different stages of them and how they communicate. And it's not the way I grew up, and probably not the way you grew up. So tell us, how did you get into communications?
Okay, first of all, you can tell that I am standing. I'm not sitting down. I get too excited about the topic. Every single time I hear the word communication, I actually literally get re-energized and reignited. It's what makes my heart tick, really. It took me a long time, to be very frank. So it took me about 28 years to realize what I was looking for in communication. So but me, between my siblings' upbringing with my parents, mom and dad, and relatives and classmates and school in Egypt, I honestly, I mean this from my heart, Andrew. I don't know how to explain it or express it. From the youngest age that I could remember, I have felt that something was missing in the dynamics between my siblings, my relatives, my mom and dad, my friends, my family members. Just how they communicate, I feel like something was missing. When there's misunderstanding that come up, or conflict that comes up, or a dialogue that they need to dive deeper into, how they like raise their voice, or how they like stonewall, or how you just walk out of the room, or how they raise their voice, or as I'm experiencing all these, I just something within me thought that there must be a better time. And sorry, not better, a better way. And really, it took me some time to realize what that means when I took my very first communication class over 20 years ago. And I realized this is it. Not just for me, but with time, I realized that this is it for other people. Communication. I see communication is like air. It's everywhere. We are always communicating with ourselves, whether we want to or not, 24/7, even our sleep. Yep, you got it. You exactly feel my words. It's always happening within, which is called intrapersonal communication, how we communicate with ourselves. Intra, I-N-T. Mm-hmm. And even in our dreams, when we go to sleep and we have some dreams, we always have dreams. We remember it or not.
Everybody dreams. Story.
Absolutely. The second most popular type of communication is interpersonal communication, I-N-T-E-R. And obviously, there's a third type of communication, and all other communications fall under one of those three. Interpersonal, intrapersonal, or the third one is group communication, which basically three or more people. So the group communication, three or more people, it really can be three people, 300, 3,000, 3 million people. And it becomes more, a little bit more sophisticated. Organizational communication, hierarchy communication, organizational communication, and the list goes on and on and on. Most 70% of my research is intra. Personal communication, I-N-T-R-A.
The intercommunication within ourselves.
Yes, sir. And that is the bedrock of all relationships that we have, all communications we have in our life.
100%. Because especially, and I'm going to interject with my experience. The last relationship I was in, everything was in my head. What I thought she would be or what I wanted her to be. And I narrated the narrative of my own story of how the relationship should be was in my head, but I never communicated that to her. And that's, I think, so let's take a quick segue.
Please.
So, and you and I discussed this before we recorded, we chatted a little bit. In my opinion, and you can back me up or if not, is the number one, the reason that relationships fail, whether it's just boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, even best friends, fail is because the breakdown in communication between them. Okay, so point me in the right direction because I sense that that's not 100% your viewpoint. In other words, a husband and wife come home, they're married 20 years, 15 years. The husband comes home, they have dinner, and he goes sits on the couch to watch TV, and she goes off into the other room and talks with her girl. She's on her social media, or maybe she's, whatever, reading a magazine. They don't talk, and they're bored of each other. Or let's take a vibrant couple, a young couple that they just met But they're not communicating to each other either honestly or with respect towards each other. So I talk, you talk. I talk, you respond. I respond to you. It's a communication is a back and forth, right? Is that not how...
Andrew, awesome, anonymous Andrew. I am so glad that our podcast together is for the next 3 hours so we can talk about all this. Please don't choke on the water, okay? Don't choke on the water. What I am bringing up here is the implication and trying to display the profound impact of the ideas that you're bringing up. So please allow me in a humble and compassionate way to bring up those 2 points.
Okay.
First one is when a man and a woman get together, especially like opposite sex or maybe the same sex who are attracted to one another, we need to realize that this chemical connection and communication is extremely powerful. FYI, research shows that when men meets a very attractive woman, the blood gets drained from their prefrontal cortex. That is like survival method. Number one. Number two, often can I say guilty of it? I don't know. I have gone through it. When we get in a relationship or we get involved in creating a, some people call it relationship. Some people like to call it relationships. I'm not going to judge.
Yeah, I don't judge either. No.
We get into this connections and relationships because it fulfills something within us that we are not able to fulfill for ourselves. In fact, I kid you not, I swear. Well, what is it like? It's like almost 4 p.m. my time. About 4 hours ago, I posted this thing on this message on TikTok, which is like the longer we spend time together and the more we cultivate relationship with ourselves, the less we feel like we need to create that with someone else. So
what? Can you expand on that?
Lily, I was ready.
Okay.
Just like a few seconds ahead of me. So there are 2 aspects to it that I have to make very crystal clear. And I mean this in a very humble way between interviewing a few dozens of ashrams, a few dozens of gurus in different ashrams in India. I traveled India for about 1.5 years and so many other experts that one, we go about life in a way where we feel like something is missing within us, that we want someone else to fill the gap. One. 2, something in my life, whether my thoughts or feelings, and I do not know what to do about. When I get in a relationship, subconsciously, I am hoping that him or her will be able to fix that issue for me. Now, I'm going to slow down for a second here from my yoga practice and meditation practice and tell you that most people that we get in relationship with, the type and the style of relationship that we get into is something that we are trying to cultivate with ourselves. For example, for my own self, I have had few partners and girlfriends in the past who have been extremely compassionate and loving to me, Andrew, that I took it for granted. And they were being authentic to me. They were being real. They loved me and they appreciated me for what they saw in me. Yet, because I could not see that in me, I thought they were faking it.
Yeah, you took it for granted. And I did the same thing. I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay.
Tissue. I have tissues right there. So we're good.
Okay. Yeah, because I let's go back to the intrapersonal thing, the dialogue we have. Yeah. I'm not good enough. For example, when I met this last woman on a dating app, she was beautiful and she was on eHarmony. And I reached out to her, but I said, there's no way she's going to contact me back. A day later, I got an email from her, or a text message, and I said, wow, how, why does she, maybe she wants my money. Maybe she's, no, she was a, she was an out of the country immigrant. So maybe I thought she was looking for like a marriage thing, or, you know, I all this stuff went through my head. Why does she really want to be with me? And I made up all these things in my head, but in reality, she wanted me. And I couldn't accept that until I did. I finally got around to accepting it. And then by the time I accepted it, she was off with somebody else. And I think that's my fault because I, as she gave and gave and gave, I didn't know how. She said to me one day, you don't know how to be loved. And I said, wow. So to your point, yes, I think that's a huge problem.
So this is not necessarily about like dating or relationships yet. This is something that I'm really aware of that's gonna get too dark and heavy so quickly.
That's okay. Ready.
So I am imagining myself on my deathbed where I feel like dreams around me that will be like surrounding me. It doesn't matter, friends or family that surround you, my deathbed. But I feel like my dreams will surround me on my deathbed. And I feel like they would say to me, we came to you to make us reality. And this is very important to realize that the way we live our life actually creates our dreams to become reality. Now, part of you might be like wondering, like, what does that mean in terms of like relationship and dating? Please let me elaborate. Most relationships, in a compassionate, mindful, and respectful way, in relationships, they're always buyer and seller in relationships. Someone who is like getting into a relationship who can take care of the whole relationship, and some other people get into a relationship where they feel like they will be taken care of.
Yep, yep.
So thank you for being authentic and real and like nodding your head to just like agree to that statement that's nonverbal.
Because I've gone through it and I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Now, to simply be aware of that, to just be aware that whatever connections that we build with other people, dating, networking, going out on dates, just to be aware, are people buying or selling? And if there are two people who are coming together and they both are buying.
It doesn't work.
Well, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm asking. I don't know. So if two people come together, but they're both buying.
No. Actually, I apologize, but it's the completely opposite. If
okay.
Both people are buying, it does work. That means I want to buy. I want to have you. I want to be with you, however you are. And the other person sees it the other way. Now, let's be frank, and I am guilty of it more than 99% of my life, and I'm like 42 years of age right now. I have always been on the selling side. I'm always selling, always selling, always selling. Can you buy me? Can you buy what I have to offer? Can you buy my personality? Can you buy my experience? Can you buy my, you know, what I have gone through? And when two people who are buying, that means they are aware of their inner value and what they have to offer. And I mean this in a compassionate and mindful way. And I'll pause here to give you a chance to ask a question or make a comment. What do you think, Andrew? Which I kind of rattled you.
And I've already written down several questions that I want to ask you about communication.
Awesome.
But when you first said when two people are buying,
mm-hmm.
I misread that. So, and I just, because it's a 50-50 answer. So either they're all in and they're all, it's going to work, or if they're both buying. So I didn't understand what you meant by buying.
Yeah.
So there was a communication breakdown there.
Good point.
But the way you explained it, I agree. If both people are buying, which means that they're putting their best foot forward and they're presenting their authentic self to each other, it's going to be a wonderful relationship. It's when one of them, either they're interpersonal, like me, my interpersonal thoughts and myself, communication with myself will break that down because I don't believe what you're offering. So you're selling, you're my girlfriend and you're selling, and I don't believe what you're selling me because how could you want me? Now that's a whole nevel topic because that's about self-respect, self-dignity, self-loathing, and that's not really communication. That's just how some people are. They don't have self-respect. So how could this beautiful woman really want to be with me? And that's what I was like. It wasn't until I finally came around and saw that she was authentic, well, at least for the first year, I then finally came around. But by then it was too late. She had given up because she was giving and giving and giving. I kept doubting why she was giving and giving. I said there was an ulterior motive here. And of course, she got tired of it. But to your point of both partners buying, I agree. It's the best way to initiate a relationship. I'll give you an example. I went on a date not too long ago, a couple of months ago, and I tell this story to my audience. We went on this date and we both played tennis. We both had a couple of things in common. But when we got to the date, I was asking her questions. So tell me your tennis game. What are you, an intermediate? Are you a beginner? Are you advanced? And she gave me one word answers. And she seemed as if like I was bothering her. We're on a first date here. We're trying to get to know each other.
Can you please, Andrew, help me which website you guys went on so I can avoid?
Yeah. I think it was Bumble. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Bumble. It's a very popular.
And
thank
it was
you.
New York City. So just don't date somebody from New York City. At least.
That was awesome. Please continue.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. No, it just tells me that she was not a good communicator. She had no answers, nor did she ask me any questions. And it began to rain, and I looked at that, and I saw that my opportunity to get out. I said to her, because I drove her, I said, look, it's during the summer, and it was a heavy downpour. And I said, look, I better get you home so you get home safe. So I cut the date short because I wasn't going to waste any more of my time. Mm-hmm. So now what happens when two people are sellers?
That's my past. That's extremely my past. Like,
give us an example of what that looks like.
Who wants me? Who needs me? I cannot wait to be in relationship. Who appreciates me? Who loved me for something that I cannot see? Who can love me for the things that I'm hiding from? That is...
Wow. Okay.
I'm guilty of it.
I'm guilty of it too.
Absolutely. Well, now I have to bring something really important that you brought up a minute ago, which is she may not be good communicator. I appreciate your perspective, yet I feel strong urge to crystallize this idea. I feel like for me, it's about vulnerability. What I mean by that is vulnerability is to actually show up with my imperfections, my needs, my wants, my desires, my downside, my upside. That's not easy. It is not easy.
Agreed. But Mario, when you go on a first date, and whether it's a date or meet and greet, you know, where you're 20 minutes for a cup of coffee, that's your first impression. That's the first time and only time you're going to get to impress me or I get to impress you. And if you can't communicate, I am not going to ask you on a second date. So you're telling me that she might be shy or she might be has some trauma. To me, if you're on a dating app and you talk to me for a week on a dating app and I ask you on a date and you go, try to put some effort into it. And she put no effort into it whatsoever. And I said, look, I have an hour drive home and I'm not going to waste any more time on this. So anyway, the expression first impression is the best impression or whatever that phrase is so true. But if you're not a good communicator and you can't communicate, Mario, I asked her about her tennis game. And she was a tennis player. She couldn't answer the question. It was like, yeah, I play over there. And yeah, I play once a week. But on our dating profile, it said, you both play tennis. You're a great match. We have a common interest. Let's talk about that and bond over that. And she couldn't. So I'm just explaining what I saw that she was lacking. I thought she lacked the art of communication. I could be wrong. I don't know what's going on in her head. So I don't know.
Thank you so much for being humble and displaying that you could be wrong. And
I could be totally wrong.
I mean, I really mean this from my heart. So check this out. And honestly, I have not vaped in like a month and I miss vaping. That's beside the point.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. It's okay. What you got?
People say that I vape during a podcast, but I'm home and I'm relaxing.
I'm done with you. I'm going to go freaking buy my own vape. It's been a while.
You know, I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I don't. I cut sugar out of. I do. So, like, this is the last vice I have.
You got it. So, Andrew, check this out. The person that you are talking about, maybe it showed on her profile, her experiences and what she has been through, yet she was not able to like talk about it and communicate about it. That's actually, believe it or not, that's really common. It's not because someone knows something or they have experienced this specific experience. It's easy for them to talk about it anytime. So, we need to be crystal clear about thoughts and emotions. So I discovered from my research that thoughts always pre-exist before feelings and emotions. So no matter how much experience the person that you're talking to, no matter how much experience or thoughts or like life experience they've had, if they think to themselves that they may not be enough or they may not say things the right way, it might prevent them to express themselves. Honestly, I can tell you, and I mean this with a very simple and honorable heart, that most of the people that I have met who struggle to express their own thoughts and feelings at the beginning, once I give them time, they become the greatest kick-ass connection I could ever have.
So you're saying that if I had gone on a second date, that maybe she would have opened up?
100%. 100%. From my experiences, most human beings need second, third,
chances,
fourth chance. Because guess what? You are a brand new experience in their lives.
And a stranger.
And they have had so many experiences before. For weeks, months, or years, girlfriend, boyfriend, marriage, divorce, whatever. And they're just meeting you for the first time. It takes time to adapt. And just to be crystal clear, Andrew, I am not just talking about communication here. I also studied neurology, sociology, and biology. When you come into someone's life for the first time, you are a brand new neuron connection.
Yeah.
Before I met you, I've had millions of neurons connection. I meet you and talk to you today. It's a brand new connection. It takes time to come in. I want to keep this really simple and really quick. Is like when you add like a drop of ink in a water and you swirl, it takes a few seconds for
to mix. Yeah.
A lot of ink to mix. Well, guess what? In the brain, it takes a really long time because the brain always likes to preserve itself. Hence, get ready for this. Some people repeat the relationships pattern because they haven't had the chance to recover. And you're pointing at yourself. I'm pointing at myself too. You're not
alone. I've done that.
So check this out. The person that you're trying to get into a relationship with, they are trying to figure out the same thing. Break out of the pattern or continue the pattern. And we know the difference is subconscious choice versus subconscious choice. Conscious versus subconscious.
Well, and when you put it that way, I completely understand that we're meeting for the first time and she needs to process. And so she's seeing me for the first time. She's hearing my voice for the first time, which is also part of communication, right? Is the tone of my voice, the body language that I have. So she has to take all that in and process it. I get that. So I'm that drop of ink right in the water and she needs time to let that swirl around. However, I'm going to back up and say that we spoke on the phone two or three times and we chatted for about a week or maybe 10 days. She had the opportunity to get to know me there. She heard my voice. She saw me I think we might have even done a video chat. I don't remember. So to your point, I understand that meeting in person can be very anxious, can be very, you're the expert. I'm just, and I agree with you 100%. It can be very traumatic or anxious for a person especially for a woman. And by the way, I picked her up because she didn't drive. So she asked me to pick her up. So maybe in the back of her mind, she was a little worried about this man. My life is in his hands because he picked me up and now he's got to take me home. And I don't know if I'm going to get home. She doesn't know me. Now, I happen to be a gentleman and I had every intention of taking her home. I couldn't wait to take her home, but not take her home in the sense of take her home. I wanted to take her home.
I miss the feeling, man. Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I miss the feeling.
But anyway, all right. So let's forget her because that was just an experience. I've had other great first dates that just, we did communicate very well. It just didn't, there wasn't romance. There wasn't chemistry. I have some questions for you about communication.
Please.
Okay. So you said you're in your 40s. I'm in my 60s. So there's a little bit of a gap there. But you grew up in the time when we didn't have social media. We didn't have the internet. I'm guessing you were around during the 80s and 90s. You were probably young. But today we have everything. Everything is cell phone. Texting, social media, sending voice messages, Facebook direct messages. So communication arts, and I studied communication arts back in 1982.
Nice.
What they taught me back then is not applicable to what's being taught today.
I'm sorry, did you say 1982?
That's when I graduated college, yeah.
That is when I freaking was born. September 82, oh my God.
Okay. Yeah, so I graduated in May of 82, and you weren't even born yet.
I wasn't even born yet.
Well, you were in your mother's womb, so.
I was, I guess.
What they taught me then is not applicable to what is going on today. So what do you see has changed in the past 20 years?
Okay, absolutely. So to be crystal clear about our inner personal communication, how we converse with ourselves, and intra-personal communication, how we converse with other people, is crucial. Why? Please let me tell you why. As a man, a straight man who have dated so many women, we masculine energy and a man, we always like to put face up front. Oh, that's how I am. That's what I've been through. That's how strong I am. That's just, well, let me tell you this. For my own personal experience and anyone else who might hear this in the future, 2013, 12 years ago, my ex-girlfriend's mom, she gave me this book as a gift for, I kid you not, I swear, you cannot make this shit up. She gave me this audiobook as a gift for myself in Valentine's Day, 2013, 12 years ago. The book was The Power of Vulnerability by Brené Brown. So my ex-girlfriend's mom saw something. She saw something within me that she felt it might be better to actually tell me about it through a book or audiobook versus like sit down and talk with me. And I can tell you this. Honestly, this is one book that really changed my life as a man and as a person who was born and raised in two different cultures, American culture and Egyptian culture, to try and figure out where I belong. And I realized that when I bring this up, Andrew, right now, you're thinking vulnerability is like a feminine thing. Yes? No?
No.
I love you for that.
No.
You are like the top 1%.
I've been praised on the show how vulnerable I am. In the beginning of the podcast, I shared everything about my life.
I love it. Yeah. Some people think vulnerability and being open and being truthful about your feelings is like a feminine thing. Well, I think being vulnerable and open is more of a relieving feeling.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. And honestly, one of the biggest issues that I have had in my past relationships is that, to be very honest, I did not know how to do that. I was afraid to be judged.
Yeah. Was that from your culture from growing up in Egypt?
My mother was so tough.
Yeah, I would imagine.
She was a businesswoman, tough. If you're like vulnerable, if you're like straightforward, other people would like take advantage of you or abuse you. And it makes sense. So to be crystal clear is to be vulnerable in a discerning way, mindful way. Okay, you and I talk about vulnerability and just like being real with our thoughts and feelings. You cannot take this idea and go to a dealership, car dealership. True.
I happen to be shopping for a new car right now too. That's funny.
You cannot be vulnerable and go to a car dealership.
You got to have your guard up at the car ship.
So what I'm trying to say here is to understand what a vulnerability is and practicing it mindfully and intentionally and be wise enough to discern of the environment where it is safe to be that or not. And I actually say this with kind of like heavy heart, Andrew. Sometimes we have to do this with women.
I was just going to ask you, how vulnerable should a man be on the first date or even second date? Do we let it all, because I'm an alcoholic. So do I tell her on the first date that I'm in recovery? I have 10 years of sobriety. That might scare some people, or some women may like that. Oh, he's safe. He's not going to be a drunk. He's not going to beat me up. He's not going to go out drinking with his buddies all weekend. So that could be a good thing, or it could be a bad thing, because they could take that as he's damaged goods. So do I tell them that I've been diagnosed with bipolar disorder? Now, I'm asymptomatic, and I'm off all my medications, and I'm doing very well. But do I divulge that? So these are vulnerabilities about myself. Do you share these things with a woman on a date? Or because in my mind, I'm going to scare them away. That's a hard, I know it's a hard question. There's no answer. I don't think there's an answer. You got to read them.
Maybe you're right. There is no answer yet. There is a response. I do believe that it is very important to be aware of what we bring out to the table, what we have to offer. In the meantime, it is crucial to be intuitive and we can feel what other people have to offer.
Okay, I agree.
But go ahead.
Authenticity. How about being authentic?
If someone, let's say you go out on a date with a girl who's really authentic and vulnerable and open, and they go like, hey, you know what? I struggle with like drinking and being alcoholic, and I stopped for like 18 months, and I do my best once in a while. You know, I can like break the trend, and my aim is just to be completely sober. And someone comes up to you like that, they and she will make you feel a lot more comfortable to really share the genuine you. Not only that, she actually might be able to empower you, inspire you, and help you to just like make a change. What I'm trying to say here is something that is more valuable than gold, than diamonds, than gem, which is when we show up authentically to one another, we can actually help each other to evolve more. To be very frank, a lot of the relationships that I have been into in the past, I'm trying to pretend to be something that I'm not. They are doing the same fucking thing. They're trying to pretend something that they're not. It's like illusion meeting illusion.
I have a problem with that. Personally, I have a problem with that. I used to be the knight in shining armor. I know that's my iMac. I have always saw a damsel in distress. So a woman opens up to me and she says, I suffer from depression, or I suffer from, I'm struggling with alcohol, or my ex-boyfriend beat me up. I would immediately jump, put my Superman cape on, and I would say, you're in safe hands. I don't drink. I don't hit women, and I can take care of you. Like, in other words, I want to cuddle her and I want to make her feel safe. But here's the problem with that, and this is going to sound horrible. She's damaged goods. She's has trauma in her past that I'm not educated enough to handle. And this is what happened with the last girlfriend. She had a lot of trauma, and while she did a lot of love and a lot of giving, she was cheated on and beat as a woman and her as a child, and was raped at 18. And I knew this, and I did the same thing. But you're in America now, because don't forget, she was an immigrant. You're in America now, and I am alcoholic in recovery, and I blah, 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 blah. And I think she saw safety in that until she didn't need that anymore. And then she went out, whatever. So I have two more questions for you.
Please ask me a lot of questions.
Okay. I don't know which one I should save for the last one. Here, I got, this is a good one. And we're going to go off topic of dating here.
Please.
When I listen to podcasts or guests, or I listen to talk shows, or even if you're communicating with a colleague.
Okay.
This is going to sound bizarre, but you hear it, I'm sure, and you probably studied it. Why do we as humans, so you ask me a question and I say, well, Mario, I think that because you know what I mean? Why do we put filler words in our replies to people? The word, the you know, the like yesterday, like, you know, they repeat like. Is there any research as to why? Now, I've listened to you today and you said one time, and it was at the very beginning. I'm very tuned to this because when I edit my podcast, I take out all the filler words. So you have mastered the being able to speak and not use filler words. But why, as a communication expert, why do most people, the majority of people, need to put filler words in?
This, because I have a feeling. I kid you not, it's like 4:30 p.m. And once I share this with you, the next morning, that every single communication and conversation you are going to have with people will be flavored and colored with what I'm about to tell you. You are probably familiar with this, and I am merely reminding you of it. Priming. P-R-I-M. Priming. When you are about to ask me a question, you can say, oh, this is going to be easy way to answer it. Oh, this might be challenging for you. This might be like an interesting concept to discuss. Every single word, you are priming the receiver as how to take this information in. Does that make sense?
So you're pausing, you're using words like, oh, and you know, to pause so I can receive the information more slowly or more accurately?
Forgive me, that's not what I meant.
Okay, so I misunderstood you, and that's why we're communicating.
It's okay, that's why we're communicating, yeah. No, that's not exactly what I'm saying. What I'm saying is like the priming that you put out there, like this might be so important for you to pay attention to. The listeners might be really pay so much attention. The moment you tell yourself like, this is very important piece of information, our mind literally pays attention to the next piece of information comes out. This is called priming. So,
interesting. Okay.
As a communication expert, as yourself, as a host and channel creator, one of your jobs is to actually prime people. Whoever show up as a guest, you priming listeners that will hear this conversation, this recording, 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now, 20 years from now. We are priming them. What is priming is to create a ground that makes sense for other people to continue on. Like, oh, that makes sense. Oh, yeah, that aligns with how I think. Ooh, yep, that connects the dots for me. That is...
Is that something that one can learn? Because you have not... So editing this episode is going to be so easy. Seriously. And I'll probably leave the that you said in the beginning.
Thank you.
But You are an expert and have researched and studied communication for 20 plus years, right? 30, whatever it is. And you have an excellent way of communicating. You have not said any of the filler words. But I interviewed somebody recently who was a lawyer. I interviewed people who are doctors and PhDs. And the entire podcast is all the filler words. And I have to, I like my podcast to be sometimes authentic. So let the guest speak. But I will chop and take those filler words out. So it seems to be a learned behavior or learned skill. Or not.
To be frank with you, from my experience and research and my own experiences, honestly, it's basically based on how we process information. People who like say so many ums, you know, they are basically processing information. For me, because I have been doing this for a while, I just go on and on. Let's just be very frank. Whether lawyers, doctors, or any other positions, when they say, they're just simply processing information.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that. And
I noticed your style of communicating, and I like it, is you speak slowly and methodically. And it's like you're priming me with your way you speak slower, and you don't need the ums, you don't need the you knows. So you seem to be getting the same point across without having to do the ums, the you knows, and the like. So it's something that has been, as a podcast, has been bothering me since I started this show and my other podcast. So. Okay, one more question, and then we got to unfortunately wrap it up. We're coming up on an hour.
You got it.
In your travels, experience, and research, what is the number one communication problem or breakdown in our current society? What is happening that you wish could be fixed or changed?
From the deepest part of my heart, honestly, Andrew, that once we realize that we all carry a great deal of ignorance.
Yes.
We become a lot more compassionate with ourselves, our past selves, and we become a whole lot more compassionate with other people. So, quick idea, what I mean by that is researching communication for over 20 years. One of the things I learned was whatever I learned is like this much.
Yeah.
What I do not know, what I did not learn is infinite, limitless, boundless.
Yeah.
And that actually applies to every human being that we meet.
Even the most brilliant and intelligent people. And we know that our brains are capable of holding much more information that we don't even tap into, right? I know that. And I know that there's so much that I don't know, so much.
Humbleness,
thank you.
To be humble, to be grateful for what we know, and my own way of seeing things that I see everyone around me like a guru. Just really quick, can I share this with you, Andrew? Sure. So the word guru, we all think of like guru is like one word. Guru is actually two words. I traveled India for like a year and a half, and I stayed in ashrams and I learned a lot. The word guru, it means gu, which means darkness, and ru, it means the person who sheds light on our darkness. So Ru is the person in our lives that shed lights on our darkness. Hence, I see every person in my life as a guru. I'll pause here.
Good answer. If you would ask me that question, I would like to see more people listen, because people shout over each other. And especially with today's political climate, the left and the right, and let's take politics out of it. We're talking religion, talking whatever. People will say their opinion, and then the other person replies, but they don't even hear them. They just want their viewpoint heard, and they don't care what the other person. And I think if we listen to the other person, the other party, and hear what they actually said, Even though we still may disagree, I think the communication highway would be much better. So that's just my little take on it.
I'd really love that you bring this up, and I feel I have a strong urge to bring this up because you can use this in the future, that there is a clear distinction between hearing and listening.
Listening, yep.
Yeah, you're so freaking smart. You know, you know what I'm trying to say even before I say it. I love what you have to offer.
Well, I learned that in relationships, when two people are arguing and they're just not shouting over each other, there's a method where you take a timer and you say, okay, we sit on the couch and for 10 minutes, you go. Turn the timer on and I listen to you for 10 minutes. And then 10 minutes is over. And now you have to listen to me for 10 minutes and you cannot interrupt me. And that's something that I was taught in therapy.
Powerful
and,
tool.
Yeah, it's a very powerful tool. You still may not come out agreeing on everything, but at least she heard what I had to say and I heard what she had to say instead of shouting over each other or running out of the room or whatever. So, Mario, this has been an unbelievably enlightening conversation.
You're so
kind. And I have to tell the audience that I almost passed on Mario, and I really am so happy that I didn't, and that Mario came on, because you did everything that I needed you to do. We talked all about communication, about what's going on in America or society, and of course in the dating world. So I want to thank you so much for your insight, and I think I may need to have you back one day. So tell the audience quickly where we can find you online.
Easy. Super simple. I am everywhere.
Everywhere. He did like a magic thing. He was like, everywhere.
Honestly, humbly, I'm not trying to like publicize myself or where you can find me at all. But honestly, to keep it simple, just to respond to your question, if you just go and like Google any search engine and type my first name and last name, mariowissa.com, MarioWissa. That's my website. You can also, honestly, as I'm talking about, like, once you type my first name and last name with social engine, everything comes up. I'm like, in the back of my mind, I'm wondering, who am I? Because I feel like I'm nothing yet. I'm trying to offer something.
That's called the imposter syndrome. But you know, Mario, you are an expert in communications. You came here speaking one language. You learned a second language, which you're an expert at. And then you studied the communications of society. And I that's something that I wanted to study, you know, the year that you were born. So
no, that was a step right there.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it. Mario, thank you for coming on the podcast. And I'll put in the show notes, I'll put your website. And I do know that I think you're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok. I'll put all that information in the show notes.
Awesome, Andrew. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mario.
Thank you, brother.
I'd like to thank Mario for stopping by. What an enlightening conversation about communication. And folks, communication is, everybody will tell you this, every therapist and every coach, and communication is the number one breakdown in relationships, and between husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends and husbands and husbands and all that stuff. When they stop communicating and listening to each other, not just hearing, but listening to each other. And I'd like you to listen to what I'm about to say. Please, if you like this podcast, or even are you just listening to it for the first time or second, I need more followers and more reviews and more likes. And head over to my social media. I am Anonymous Andrew Podcast on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and Threads and all the other ones. Just type in Anonymous Andrew Podcast and I pop up everywhere. I'm not on Snapchat and Blue Sky and all that stuff yet. But head over to my social media, engage with me. Hey, folks. It's time for you guys to start sending questions in. If you have a question about dating, if you're struggling on something, email me. send me your questions. I'll read them on the air. I'll answer them to the best of my ability. You know, come on. Let's engage. Let's talk to each other. Let's build this little community. And if we get enough people, I'll open up a little, maybe like a Discord thing or a Facebook page or something where we can all talk about dating. What would be more cool? Come on. All right, folks. Thank you so much for checking my podcast out and this episode. And again, thank you to Mario. And oh, don't forget, I have two other podcasts. I have the Cultimatum podcast with my co-host Melody, and that is really exploding. So if you're into the cults, cult world, cult thing, all things culty, it's doing better than this podcast, all right? But head over there if you want to check out the cult world. And I brought the weekend rant back, and I did it in a style like I gave it its own podcast. So I just dropped an episode last week, episode number 3, and I go off on the scammers of the world. And the week before that, I go off on the cable company. So it's the weekend rants that you remember from a year or two ago. It's my frustrations about the modern world that we live in. So check out it's called The Weekend Rant, and it's a podcast. It's as simple as that. It's available on all platforms. So go check that out. And of course, like and subscribe and download. And of course, I'm on YouTube, but it's not really all that, like, a lot going on over there right now, because I don't have the time. I'm working. Anyway, Anonymous Andrew, until next week, ciao.